Today, on this special episode of the Nerd Outcast podcast, we talk about Final Fantasy. Welcome back. I'm your host, Chris Bashan, and we've got a special episode for you today. This episode actually wasn't planned, but I have a very good friend in town, and he happens to be in town for a good anniversary, so I figured it was time to do a podcast about Final Fantasy. As is usual with this podcast, I've brought an expert on with me, and I'm looking at him right now, and his name is Scott Ross.
Hi, folks. How you doing?
How you doing, Scott?
Doing well, man.
Scott, I can officially say you have traveled the farthest to ever be on this podcast.
That's pretty far.
It is. You are here in Chicago from New York.
New York City, yes.
And you are a fan of Final Fantasy, right?
I'm such a fan.
Let me ask you just a few quick questions.
Sure.
Question number one. Have you played all the games?
Yes, I'm currently playing Final Fantasy 13-2, which would complete every single Final Fantasy game. That includes Final Fantasy Mystic Quest.
Have you played Final Fantasy 11? The supposed kind of MMO, but
I have played Final Fantasy 11. I played it one time and didn't like it because it was MMO. And I haven't played 14, so I guess I lied to
you. All right, that's fine. My second question.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Final Fantasy?
That is the hardest question anybody could ever ask.
I know.
Me.
It's
a tight race. I have two favorites. I'm going to talk about my two favorites real quick, but I go back and forth.
Okay.
And it's between Final Fantasy VI and Final Fantasy VIII. Final Fantasy VI, I think, is a perfect game.
Perfect game.
It is a
there
perfect
are
game.
No flaws.
There are no flaws in Final Fantasy VI.
I might have to agree with that. I don't know. Hard to say.
It's a perfect game, and on the Super Nintendo, its only competition is Chrono Trigger. Its only competition is Chrono Trigger. It's a perfect game. The characters are so developed. Every single character, and every play... The great thing about that is I've played that game probably more than any other game. At every playthrough, you can decide to make a different character stronger and just really get to experience all the different characters. There's so many, and they're all so well-developed. It's very rare, and it's very good to have that many characters that well-developed.
Okay.
Final Fantasy VIII has the best soundtrack of any Final Fantasy game by far.
It's pretty amazing.
It's fantastic, and anytime you mess with time, like Chrono Trigger,
you
have an amazing, amazing story, and such a wonderful, satisfying ending that Final Fantasy VII did not give us, which is why Final Fantasy VII is not
your
the best Final Fantasy game.
Fair enough.
Take that to my grave. But that
All right.
You have to put a bullet to my head to pick which one.
Scott and I go way back on the Wayback Machine. We've known each other for quite a long time. I think the only other person on this podcast who has known me longer, Scott, is my brother.
Wow.
So you are second place
yes.
in that race, my friend.
It's good to be number two.
It's good to be number
good
two.
Good to be number two.
Sitting over here by my right, laughing at everything that she sees, is our outcast for the evening, Aaron Klein.
Hello.
Hello, Aaron. So you're outcast, which means you're not as familiar with the subject that we're going to be talking about, and... Before we go any further, for those of you listening, we are going to talk about the original Final Fantasy, because we just recently passed the 25th anniversary of this game. So I figured we'd do a podcast, so that's what this is. Aaron.
Yes.
You're not a gamer.
No.
No. Okay. You like to read?
I love to read.
You like movies?
Yes.
You like science fiction?
Yes.
All right, those are good. Those are important things for Final Fantasy. You like dragons?
Yes.
Okay. Do you like to kill dragons? If they're bad?
If they're bad, sure. I would prefer to ride them.
All right. Oh, yeah, yeah. Can't argue with that one. That's good. That's good. That's a good answer. All right.
How do you feel about airships?
Airships.
Ships can fly.
Ships that fly.
They're awesome?
Okay.
Good.
Good. Good. Good start. Good start. Good start. All right. Now, have you seen me? Have you seen me play the first Final Fantasy? I don't know if you've seen me play it. I play a lot of retro games.
You don't specify which game it is usually.
No, typically
I just end up watching.
You just end up watching. I know for a fact you've seen me play some of the later Final Fantasies, specifically
awesome.
Final Fantasy X and 13.
Yeah.
I know you've seen both of those.
Yes.
And what did you think of what you saw?
I love them.
You love them. Why do you love them? Now, you don't like to play them.
I'm bad.
You're bad? That's okay. That's okay if you're bad at video games. Final Fantasy actually can be very, very daunting.
I have not tried a Final Fantasy, but I prefer to watch it.
Okay.
I like the storyline.
You like the storyline. It's very interesting that you say that, because I kind of feel that is maybe the reason people even got into Final Fantasy in the first place. Okay.
Well, and I love watching the animation and, like, the colors. It's a very fantasy.
It's very well produced.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy has... Scott, would you agree with me if I said Final Fantasy has always kind of been a benchmark as far as graphical prowess and spectacle?
Absolutely.
Okay.
All the games are on the forefront. You'll remember when it all changed to the... when we changed from cartridge to disc-based. Final Fantasy VII was the first one to have those brilliant cutscenes
right.
that took us from that. And even though most people didn't like Final Fantasy XIII, graphically, it's one of the best games out there.
Let me pose you this question. Do you feel Final Fantasy does it too much? Because some people would say, for instance, like Metal Gear Solid... which uses an extensive amount of cutscenes. Do you feel Final Fantasy ever goes overboard with that, or have they generally been pretty good with that? Or, well, what's your take on that?
I think Final Fantasy has a pretty good balance of cutscenes to gameplay ratio. Most of the Final Fantasy games you talk about, you usually talk about one or two moments. You know what I mean? Oh, in this game, this thing happened. You know? You talk about Metal Gear Solid. If you try to talk about one of the moments from the cutscenes, it'd take you 3 hours to talk about, you know. I think they really keep their cutscenes to, this is the big dramatic moment, and cutscene.
Okay.
And it's over and done.
Okay. I guess I would say, like, they use their cutscenes for storytelling. They don't let it overwhelm them, I guess.
Yeah, I would definitely say that.
All right. Well... Let's bring it back a little bit. Let's go in the Wayback Machine to 1987 and the release of the original Final Fantasy in Japan. That is not the American release. Supposedly, the lore in the gaming industry is that Squaresoft, the company that was putting out this game, was on the verge of going bankrupt. And... To attempt to save the company, they were tasked with attempting to create one final game, and they wanted it to be a fantasy game because another game had recently come out called Dragon Quest, which was a huge hit in Japan and was a pretty large success here in America. Aaron, think of Dragon Quest as Hero Quest. you essentially played a warrior who was on a task to save a princess and then defeat the dragon lord. It was a very, very simple game, but it was heavily based on, almost kind of like D&D and whatnot. Like
your spells were hurt or hurt more. Those were your two spells.
Or heal. You could heal.
You could heal, of
or
course.
Or heal more,
yeah. Okay, four spells.
But it was a fantasy game, and it was kind of one of the big first ones that did it really well, at least for Japan. Scott, have you ever played, like, Wizardry? Because I know Dragon Warrior took a lot of inspiration from Wizardry. I've never played Wizardry, so...
I've played it, but only... I have not, like, dove into it. I played it forever ago as a
child. I believe that was a PC game
yep.
at the time. And I did not have it, so... anyway, Dragon Warrior came out. It was a huge hit. Squaresoft needed money, and they were like, all right, we need to make a fantasy game. It's going to be our final one, hence the title. And they put it out. And they assumed it would not sell well. And they assumed that was it, that they were about to go bankrupt. It sold great. It was wonderful. And it single-handedly brought the company out of the red. That is the lore of the game industry. Whether that is true or not is kind of up for debate. But that's the mythos behind this game. So, Scott, let me jump over to you. This did not come over to America until 1990. Did you play this when it came out?
Absolutely.
First impression. Like, what do you remember about the game?
I remember playing this game with my stepmother. Interesting enough, we had together played Dragon Warrior, which is what it was called in the States. And when I was a child, the aspect of building up was awful. I hated the grinding. So my stepmother would do the grinding.
Okay.
And then I would play and get to do all the fun parts.
Wow, because I feel grinding is one of the favorite things you like about it. If it's done right.
Now, I'm the grinder. Like, okay. I grind too much.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, I put 120 hours into Skyrim because I was grinding.
Wow, that's a lot of time of your life that you could be doing, I'm sure. Yeah, I could do nothing more important because Skyrim is awesome.
It is, but that's right. A different podcast. But yeah, so, and then that was literally the next progression for Dragon Warrior. The next game that had any kind of RPG elements was obviously Final Fantasy.
Aaron, do you know what we mean? You know what we mean when we say RPG, right?
Yeah.
Role-playing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. For those in the listening audience who don't know, a role-playing game is a game where you take on the role of a character and you play the game as them.
Kind of like choose your own adventure.
Right. I guess this could confuse people because then they would say Mario is a role-playing game because you're playing as Mario, but there's certain... What are some of the tropes of role-playing games? There are levels.
Here's the thing about RPGs. Yeah, okay. I can clear this up because I think calling it a role-playing game is actually not... It's not good to call it that because, I mean, God of War, you're taking on the persona of Kratos, you know, and it's a great story. For all intents and purposes, if you have a character in a story, it's RPG. No, the RPG really deals with how you have characters and you're going to make those characters better. In Mario, the Mario you play for the very first level is the exact same Mario that you play on the final level. Mm. In Final Fantasy, the very first time that you're with the Warrior of Light, he is completely different from the Warrior of Light you play with at the end of the game because your character builds up. Also, in a straight RPG or a JRPG, you are selecting the commands for your characters to do instead of actually, you know, pressing a button and the character does an action. Okay. It's, I'm giving you a command, and then the character will follow the command. And you usually control more than one character.
Okay. Yeah. It's a JRPG.
Japanese RPG. Oh, right. JRPG, normally... Final Fantasy, I believe, is the quintessential JRPG. You have four characters, you select commands for each character, and they will attack said creatures that you told them to attack.
Yeah, and let's clarify that up. To separate this from RPG of, like, D&D, in video game terminology, nowadays... It didn't used to be like this in the 80s and 90s, but now you essentially have... RPGs have split into two different camps. You have RPGs like Skyrim, which are developed by the United States and companies in Europe, and they essentially call them Western RPGs. And then you have JRPGs, which are any RPGs that are developed in Japan. Aside from where they are developed, there's certain thematic or execution techniques that are similar. The Japanese have a way of doing things. The West has a way of doing things. I don't want to go into too much detail about that because that is a whole podcast in and of itself, but it's terminology that's thrown around now. So you liked this game when it first came out.
Yes.
You were a big hit. You beat it, right?
Absolutely.
Wow.
I did.
Cool.
Yep.
All right. All right. Aaron, do you have any questions so far?
I don't think so.
Okay. Since you've played since you have at least seen the later games of Final Fantasy, essentially how the first game works is the story is you are the four heroes of light. You create a party of four characters, and you have these four orbs that you have to bring the light to. So you're essentially going to these different parts of the world, fighting these monsters, fighting these elemental fiends, and getting the light back to each of these orbs. And then you go to the end of the game, and that's all wonderful, and you beat the final boss. And it's a very fantastical setting. I would argue that Final Fantasy really pulls a lot from D&D. In fact, I believe there's even a character called a Mind Flayer, or an Illithid, or whatever you call them from D&D, like the octopus head creatures, is like a complete ripoff from Dungeons & Dragons. Like, they were heavily inspired by that board game.
I would say so.
I would say so.
I would definitely say that this took a lot from D&D. The wizards look like mind flayers. They're called wizards.
Okay.
They're called wizards. Yep. They do look like mind flayers.
Okay. I feel like they really came close to almost a lawsuit at certain times. You mentioned the story.
Yes.
About the later games. And I want to say, like, that's one of the things that immediately drew me to Final Fantasy. Because, like, Dragon Warrior was really impressive. It's really hard to talk about Final Fantasy and not mention Dragon Warrior, by the way. Because those two games are contemporaries of each other and essentially, like, brought role-playing back into the forefront. But the story of even the very first Final Fantasy, even though it's primitively executed for the time, it was very advanced. And it deals with time travel and flying ships and castles in the sky and these four elemental fiends that have, like, harnessed the power of earth, wind, fire, water. And you have to go around and you have to defeat them and go from town to town. It was, like, massive in scope for its time.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, this game... I mean, I think the storyline of Final Fantasy is even better than the storyline of the following two Final Fantasies. I mean, it's really, really solid. You have the warriors, they've got to fight all these, and once they get rid of all the fiends, they've killed them all, they're ready to go, then they're sent back in time, and they think that everything, you know, all is lost. They have to beat the four fiends again, and then when they get to the end, and they fight this big chaos creature, they realize that they're the ones who created him, because the very first guy you fight, you hit him in the Temple of the Fiends, and you're the one who sends him back in the time where there's no Heroes of Light, where he becomes the great and powerful Chaos. So it's one of those, like, you know, you created the demon that you were slaying.
It's a weird... Spoilers! Spoilers for those that haven't played the game. The first boss is the last boss. Whoops! Oh, no! You know, somewhere there's a kid listening to this, and he's like, oh, man,
he's
always about to play that.
They can't even look at... I had someone tell me, oh, I can't play that game. I had someone tell me they couldn't play Final Fantasy VI because the graphics weren't good enough. I don't want to slap him in the face. Like, literally. Well, what's your favorite? Oh, I think Final Fantasy VII because it's really... slap him right in the face.
Scott just punched a child.
I just did.
Just right here, right now. For the time, the graphics were amazing. They were brilliant. The game was beautiful. It was very colorful. It was really expansive for an NES game. I don't know why Squaresoft decided to actually make this on the NES. I think the NES was selling really well in Japan, so they were like, well, let's put it on the system where we think we can make the most money. I'm not entirely sure about that. But it's a massive game and a beautiful soundtrack by Nobuo Uematsu, who has stuck with the series for 10 games?
9.
He worked a little bit on Final Fantasy X, didn't he?
No.
Are you sure? He didn't work on 12.
Did not work on 10.
I think he worked a little bit on 10.
I was told he didn't work on 10.
I think, did you talk to him?
I did. We should look that up.
Let's call him.
Can we get him on the...
All right, we're going to look that up, but I'm going to go with he worked a little bit on 10, which also has great music. Aaron, that's one thing you may not be aware of, but Final Fantasy, in addition to being a game series about these fantastical elements, has always been really well known for its soundtracks.
Which I play when you're not here.
What?
A lot of times when you're away, I put Final Fantasy 13 on, for the cats especially.
Aww. Nice. That makes me happy. I've always wondered when I come home why my Final Fantasy 13 soundtrack has been loaded up.
I hate when you're right.
Am I right?
He helped.
Oh,
it's not the same, though. You can tell it's not the same.
No, somebody else also worked on it because he was leaving Squaresoft at the time, but he did help. Like, he was tutoring someone. Yeah, the music for these games have always been astounding. And in fact, I think that is kind of what started the friendship of Scott and I, because I have the Celtic arrangements of Final Fantasy IV along with the orchestrations of Final Fantasy VI. And in Scott's eyes, that made me the coolest person on the planet. In many people's eyes, that does not make me a cool person. I think I am the nerd and the outcast. I am both.
You are both.
What is that? They have a big... Oh, you're going to have to edit this out. It's the big orchestration. Is it Zelda? That comes into town?
There's... All right, hold on. I know what you're talking about. There's a couple... The Zelda Symphony Tour comes into town. Video Games Live also comes to town. Did that come through New York, Scott? Did you see that?
If it did, I'm mad that it did.
Okay, let me tell you about this really quick.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
So the first time you told me about Video Games Live, I thought you were the biggest nerd, but still a cute nerd. But then you started introducing me to your video game music, and I was like, oh, wow, that's pretty awesome.
There are some really great game soundtracks. They're like movie soundtracks.
They're really beautiful.
And for sure, like the NES 8-bit chiptune kind of started the chiptune phase. Does that make sense when I say that? So chiptune is a style of music that basically uses chip processors to generate their music, and it kind of comes out of the old NES and Super NES and Sega Genesis. All the old game systems, they used these chip processors to generate their sounds, and they had like what, 8 notes, 16 notes at most to work with. They had a very limited selection of sounds that these composers had to work with. And if you listen to like the original Final Fantasy soundtrack, it's impressive that someone was able to push the hardware to do that, to even generate what would later go on to be amazing themes. And what's really funny is, I mean, chiptune music, I get, is not for everybody, but if you take the same music and then orchestrate it, it's amazing. It's astounding. I mean, they brought in composers to do these things. It's really fascinating that it... Yeah, that's all I can say. Anyway, Scott, Video Games Live, real quick.
Yeah.
Is a symphony that tours around the U.S., I think it's worldwide, actually. They came through Chicago a couple of years ago. They play musical arrangements and symphonies and rock arrangements of Final Fantasy, Zelda, Mega Man, Mario, God of War, Myst, Tetris. God, what was it, the one I saw? Tron, although that's not really a game. StarCraft, like Castlevania. They essentially just take game soundtracks and orchestrate them and then put on a rock concert, and it's a show. Like, it's not, you're not just listening to music, like they're interacting with the audience, and it's a show. It's really good. If it comes to New York, I highly recommend it.
Dance choreographers should also check it out.
Yeah, well, there's no dancing, but
no, but the music is great for choreography.
It is. It's really awesome. If it goes through, I think it's like $50. Go check it out.
Got it.
You better check
it
out.
That's less than a video game.
Yeah, it is. Well, I bet the first Final Fantasy was really expensive to bring it back.
$60?
Yeah, at the time.
$60 for a game back then. I remember it being that expensive.
Yeah, NES cartridges were pretty expensive at the time, and Super Nintendo cartridges got really expensive. I think Chrono Trigger was like $70, $80,
that.
And that's like the mid-90s. Although I don't know how much your dollar went for back then, so I don't know if that is a lot. I think it's a lot. Who knows? Here's one thing I want to talk about. I want to get your thoughts on this, Scott.
Okay.
So you load up Dragon Quest.
Yep.
You sign on, you create a warrior, you go on your adventure. You load up Final Fantasy, you create 4 warriors, and you get to choose their class.
Yes.
And you have, what do you have? You have the fighter.
Yep.
The monk.
Yep.
The white wizard, the black wizard.
Well, the monk wasn't called the monk.
What was he?
He was called the black belt.
The black belt.
He may be called the monk in the newer versions, but in the original one, he was the black belt.
Okay. The black and white mages.
Black, white, and red.
Red
mage.
And
then you had...
the thief.
The thief.
Yes.
Yep, the thief.
So you had 6 classes to choose from to create your party. So if you wanted to, the easiest combination was to do a fighter, the black belt, white mage, and black mage. So you had your healing magic and your offensive magic. But if you wanted to, you could create a party of just 4 fighters or 4 white mages. You could really pick and choose however you wanted. And that, I felt like, made this game, which was already immense and replayable, even more replayable.
Oh, absolutely. I would love to disagree with you on something.
You can't disagree with me on this.
You're just hitting it right on the nose. No, I mean, you had that awesome party that you could do, and it was set up for you, like, this is the party you should play, and you can customize it. It really was, like, one of the first games where you got to choose the type of team that you were going to take into the game. You know what I mean? Even when you played Mario Brothers, you didn't get to choose if you wanted to be Luigi, you had to be the second player to be Luigi. Like, this really revolutionized, please don't make me say that, revolutionized, And now I even lost my thought. Basically, what I'm trying to say is that you got to pick your guys in that.
Well, and it was a lot of customization at a time when that was not normal. Yeah. Dragon Quest would not introduce this for a long time.
Yeah, the original Dragon Warrior, you were the guy.
The original,
that was it.
Dragon Warrior 1 and 2, you could not pick your classes.
Yeah.
And Final Fantasy came out of the gate right away and was like, you get four people, and you can choose whatever they want to do, and you can even buy what spells you want to buy. You don't even have to buy all the spells if you don't want to.
No, you couldn't buy all the spells.
You only had three slots.
You had to choose which one you wanted.
You had the option of having four awesome spells, but you could only choose three of them. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? It's amazing. This game is so good.
It's so awesome.
It's so good.
Is this also around the same time that Burger King and McDonald's were saying, you know, have it your own way? If you don't want onions on your burger, you don't have to have onions.
I think Final Fantasy outdated have it your way right away.
Because this was in Japan. This was in Japan.
When I was a child, I needed my burgers without mustard, and it was like I'd asked for their firstborn children. Like, putting no mustard. So easy. Don't put mustard on the burger.
So are you saying that Final Fantasy beat Burger King and McDonald's out for have it your own way?
That is exactly what I'm trying to
say. They did. Absolutely. Japan came up with it first. They didn't even know that they were doing it.
No.
I think they should pay royalties.
They didn't.
So, Aaron, I know we've thrown a lot at you. Do you have any questions or comments or protests so far?
No. Well, a lot of my gaming history I've learned from you.
Yes.
So it's kind of hard to disagree, especially if I don't play.
No, that's all right.
But it does help me appreciate it. And, I mean, my only real comments are the Burger King and McDonald's.
That's okay.
You know what Final Fantasy did? Final Fantasy, did it predate Metroid or not? Metroid was first. Yeah.
It predated Metroid maybe in Japan. I don't think it predated it here in America.
Okay.
It came out really late here in America. In 1990, because didn't the Super Nintendo come out in like 1991? It came out really late here.
Well, I'm not going to say that you're wrong, because the last time I did that, I was wrong.
And then you hit a child.
But something I did. Something is telling me that it was.
Because I feel Super Mario World came out in like 91. Please tell me I'm right.
Ah! I was right.
Darn it!
92.
All right.
Wait. Oh no, I'm wrong. I read Wikipedia wrong. It was 91.
Well, Wikipedia, the knowledge of the masses, is always right.
You know, because if it's on Wikipedia, it must be true.
I know, it must be true.
So, 1991 in August is when you're right. So
wait,
a year after this game.
Wait, what were you talking about, Metroid?
Oh, what I was going to say is Metroid gives you the illusion of being in a free roaming environment.
Okay. You don't think it's as free roaming as it want, as
no, what I'm saying is that Metroid, along with Final Fantasy, it gives you the right now we're all about games that give you free roaming. We're all about games. Arkham City, you can go everywhere.
Right.
Skyrim, you can do anything.
Yes.
You don't have to do the main thing. Final Fantasy, like Metroid, give you the appearance that you are able to go anywhere.
Okay.
But then they stop you.
They open up the world gradually.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like,
I'm in this big area. Oh, but I can't go over this place because there's rocks. I guess I need a hovercraft. You know, and then you gotta, you know, exactly. So they give you that illusion of free roaming, which is great because we want to feel like we can go anywhere, but you really can't.
Whereas Mario, you can only go forward.
Literally,
you can only
go that way.
You can skip ahead.
Yeah, in this game, you really can only go to the next town, but because you have to walk and go, you get to find out all the places that you can't go yet.
There is a preferred order of doing this game, and you have to beat the four fiends to open up the final dungeon. But you can skip around. Like, there's a point in the game where you can, like, upgrade all your classes and become even more powerful. You can kind of jump ahead to that and don't even have to fight the second or third fiends before doing that.
You just gotta get the rat tail.
You just need the rat tail. You just need the airship.
Like, isn't it amazing that a rat tail in this game gives you all the power? And it makes your fighter into a knight.
It's really weird.
It makes your...
It's very Japanese.
It makes your black belt into a grandmaster. Now, the other thing about this game, the grandmaster... All right. First of all, the black belt is like the worst character in the game. The first half, he's terrible. He just doesn't do much. His weapons suck. He's terrible. And then he becomes a grandmaster, and normal people go, "Oh, I'll put a weapon in his hand. He'll be fine." He still sucks. What you didn't know is that he's a grandmaster, and you need to take the weapon out of his hand. And if you unequip,
this is the right. Grandmaster, this is so stupid.
The grandmaster becomes by far the most powerful person in the game and beats the final monster in 2 attacks. I'm talking pop-pop, 10 hits, bam. Pop-pop, 10 hits, bam. Final boss
He's
is
like
dead.
Bruce Lee
he
on
is
crack.
Bruce Lee
wow.
on crack.
It's
but
ridiculous.
You have to unequip him, which nobody...
It doesn't tell you that.
Doesn't tell... No.
Because when you're playing this game, like, you equip things. Like, yeah. To fight, to have protection, you have to equip things. And you can see it if you unequip him. If you take the weapon out of his hand, his attack value goes up really high. But you wouldn't know that. What you would never want to just unequip something.
Yeah, it just didn't seem right.
It doesn't seem right.
That's why I want to learn hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah, I mean,
Final Fantasy taught everybody, look, fight with your hands. We don't need guns, hands. Kids. Just beat them up.
There you go. Positive message.
Just beat them up.
All right, so...
Every time I look at one of these wizards, I still don't understand why... TSR at the time didn't sue Square Soft. Yeah, because that is a mind flayer.
Yeah.
That is exactly what that is.
That is what they look like. I mean...
And now because of this podcast, they will.
I know. They're like, we're going to sue them in retrospect.
Oh, wizards now?
Yeah. You can't have wizards. I felt this game kind of went out of its way to, like, try and appeal to everyone as much as it could. Like, you had all these different classes... they were like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if you got a ship? And then someone said, oh, wouldn't it be cool if you got a ship that could fly? And then someone said, well, what if we put a castle in space? There is a castle in space. I'm not making this up. There is the sky castle that you go to, and it's awesome. And then someone was like, well, what if you go back in time? Like, this all happens
in the first Final Fantasy.
This all happens.
Bahamut. Yes.
Is in the game.
However you would like to pronounce his name.
I'm from America, and we say Bahamut.
But it's the first time that character makes the appearance. He's the one who upgrades your heroes.
I never understood? If he's so powerful, why doesn't he upgrade himself?
He didn't have the tail.
He needs the tail. He needs the tail.
Look, we don't ask questions like that.
So... I just kind of want to throw a couple of questions out to you, Scott. So what is it about this game? Like, why do we like this game?
Gosh, it's hard to explain because you would think on the surface, you know, take away every RPG I've ever played, and someone's like, hey, you're going to play a game where you're going to press a button and you're going to tell that guy to attack that monster. You're not going to do it yourself. You're not going to walk up to the monster. You're just going to stand there in your little black... silver-rimmed box and attack this monster.
It's not Mario. It's not the visceral, I'm jumping on something.
No,
I'm killing
exactly.
It. Like, I'm going to choose the word attack. You don't attack. Like, you hit the word attack.
Yeah, and then you watch the guy attack.
And you think, well, that's really boring. Because I'm not doing anything.
Yeah, but the thing that it is that you go to the town and you go, these are all the spells you can buy. That spell sounds really awesome. Oh, but it costs 4,000 gold. What? I gotta get more gold. Okay, well, I'll get more gold.
Yep.
Like, that's what gets you. It's like, I need this spell too. Oh, well, that's... Okay, I gotta get this best armor. Okay, great. Oh my gosh, there's this... How do we meet the fairy? Well, the fairy's underwater. What do we have to do? Well, we have to get this potion that lets you breathe underwater. It's this ox ale potion that gives you oxygen. You know, ox ale? Come on. It's freaking brilliant. Yeah. Come on.
Creating great business people and troubleshooters.
Exactly. Your future business people.
Is there anything wrong with this game? I would argue that this game, in hindsight, there are some things this game could have done. I feel there are some problems with the original Final Fantasy. I would say maybe it's a little too grindy. They could back off a little bit on the grinding, having to kill so many monsters.
This game, not only was it required that you grind a lot, but literally every 4 steps, you had to fight an enemy.
Yeah.
if you remember in the very first version of the game, I mean, you would walk four steps and then have a random encounter.
Was it that high?
It was very, 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 very high in the first game. Wow. Very, very, very high. Yes. It was like mind-numbingly high. Oh, man.
And it would be helpful to save more often. Like, once you got into a really long dungeon, you couldn't save in dungeons in this one. There were no save points in the dungeons, were there? No, there weren't.
No, there weren't. No, if you died, you had to start the thing all over
again.
If
you, yeah. So, well, but here's the problem. If you enter into, like, now you have places you can save in dungeons, but if you go into a dungeon in the first Final Fantasy, and then you need to go to the doctor or run an errand, you can't turn the game off if you're still in the dungeon. I mean, you can warp out.
How many times did you turn your TV off and leave your Nintendo on when you were in a part that you couldn't...
Oh, man, I don't know. I think I always planned my playing sessions where I was like, all right, I've got 2 hours, I can get through the fire dungeon. I've got 2 hours, I can get through that volcano. I've got 3 hours, I can try and beat the game. Because the final dungeon's really long.
Yeah, I didn't plan that far ahead.
Okay. Well, it's not like Mario. There's like this required, which for kids is impossible. Somehow I did it. I lived in the middle of nowhere, so I was able to do that, but...
Oh, the Mirage Tower. Oh, gosh. This game is really amazing.
Scott is looking through the strategy guide to Final Fantasy and is reliving all of his childhood.
Like, all of it. Oh.
Would you recommend this to someone now?
I would recommend you getting the version that is on the iPhone.
Oh.
I do recommend that. I honestly, this is one of those games that I don't recommend that you go all the way back and play this game because you're fighting on a completely black screen. The only environment that you see is the very top part of the battle screen. You do get the nice overworld when you're walking around. But the battle system itself is very pedestrian. You only have the character art and the enemy art, and that's it. And there's nothing, and everybody's in boxes. And just that little fix, and they were able to put that, you know, on the iPhone. And wow. the touch screen's really nice. Touch the guy, hit him there. So I would really recommend that everybody play through this game on your iPhone because it is such a strong, strong story. Out of the gate, first Final Fantasy.
Well, and a really good system.
Oh, and the system's great. It's the original. It's the original one.
You, if you know what you're doing, you can beat this game in 12 to 15 hours, which for a role-playing game is short.
Yeah.
Nowadays, I mean, how many hours did you put in the Skyrim?
120.
Good lord.
And I didn't finish it.
Oh my god. I wanted to ask you: is this game in your top five?
It is not.
What's your top five?
My top five.
They don't have to be in games. Order of 1 through 5. Like, if you just have five games that would sit in there.
Got it. Final Fantasy VI, okay. Final Fantasy VIII, Chrono Trigger.
All Squaresoft games.
The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword.
Whoa.
Which we differ on. You say Twilight Princess, which yep. I loved. Not in my top five.
It's that's
like,
a podcast.
It's like number 6.
It's a podcast.
And also in my top five is Super Smash Brothers. Yeah. And I got to include Melee and Brawl. I can't differentiate because then they would knock each other out. But those are definitely in my top five.
Okay. Surprised there's not a Mario in there somewhere.
Don't get me wrong. I absolutely love, love, love Mario. Galaxy was brilliant. Galaxy 2 was great.
All right, well, to bring it back to Final Fantasy, just to kind of wrap us out, I've just got a few questions left for you,
yep.
Scott, and
kind of
Aaron. Aaron, I don't have any questions, but if you have any questions, I will gladly take them.
I'm good.
Nothing at all? Nothing you want to know about?
Yeah, I mean, just watching... you've played some older Final Fantasy where it's very boxy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to get absorbed in that. I love reading because I like to use my imagination, which is not boxy.
Okay. So. I think that's what
you
appeals...
don't dream in 8-bit?
Nope.
It's funny you mention that. I feel that's one of the things I really enjoy about older video games, like the older Zeldas or the older Final Fantasies, is... since there is no voice acting, there are no cutscenes. Like, it is just the dialogue you're reading on the screen. Like, I filled in a lot of those gaps as a kid. It's like, what do these people sound like? What are they feeling? What are they thinking? Blah, blah, blah. kind of almost like a book, you know?
I just, I don't know. I like to imagine 3D. Like, I would always dream of flying, so I don't know. I just kind of relate that to 3D.
Larger.
Yeah, 3D stories. Okay. I want to see, I want to be able to actually see the person in my head.
Fair enough.
All versus right. a box.
Scott, my final few questions. Number one, any memorable music or favorite music from this game? The soundtrack by Nobuo Uematsu.
Yep. This game has, I would say, three fairly popular pieces. One being the prologue.
Yes.
Which, I mean, I've ruined it. The prologue is my favorite piece of the game. It is in every Final Fantasy, I think.
I think it shows up in almost all of them.
On almost every Final Fantasy, they include the prologue. The Prelude is also another one.
Yep, beautiful.
Beautiful, unbelievable piece. And then for specifically this one, those two ones find themselves in most Final Fantasy games. Okay. The volcano theme in this one is another very popular
the
one.
The Garugu volcano or whatever. Yep, yep. If I can splice a little bit of that in, I will.
Also, the fanfare, the original Final Fantasy fanfare came from this game. You can't beat those pieces. And the prologue is just such an amazing, like, we're off to go fight the dragon. Like, I mean, it's such a...
It's
you could put it at the beginning of any fantasy movie, and it would be appropriate.
Oh my god, that's one thing we didn't mention. Like, you start the game, you go through the first dungeon, you fight the evil knight Garland, you rescue the princess... The king tells you, go out to the world and figure out what's wrong with the world and fix it. And you cross the bridge, and then the title screen comes up. And, like, the prologue plays, and it does that scroll where it tells you the four heroes of light have set out on their adventure. And you've already been playing for 3 hours, and it's like, now you're setting out. It begins. And it's like, that wasn't even the beginning. Oh my gosh, this game is so huge. It's amazing. It's great.
Absolutely.
So great. Very cinematic for the time.
Absolutely. This is 8-bit graphics we're talking about here.
All right. A few more questions so we can get you out on time.
Okay.
Least favorite monster.
Oh, my least favorite monster. Least favorite in design or least favorite in absolutely annoying?
Annoying.
Oh my gosh. What was the name of the monster at the end? They just fucking killed you.
Like the green dragons that like could shoot.
No, these guys, they were called phantoms, I think. They had the big red eye. They looked like the big eyes
like
with
a
tentacles.
Beholder.
They kind of did look like beholders.
D&D.
Wizards, you really should have
you
sued
should
Square.
Call Squaresoft.
I think your statute of limitations are out, but I'm looking through this book and I'm seeing a lot of that really is a beholder, isn't it?
Yeah, they could kill you in one hit, I think.
Yeah, well, they had all these spells, too. They were like Quake, Death.
Petrify.
You know, Extra Die, Super Die.
Death. Who creates that spell? Come on.
Yeah, it never worked, though. They always worked for them.
Worked for you. They could always use it, and it'd be just fine.
Not till Final Fantasy VI. They got around that.
All right, well, we're not talking about
that. I know, I'm just saying.
All right. Two questions left.
Yep.
What is your preferred way to play this game? What is your favorite party to create?
The last time I played this game, with a fighter, a black belt, a ninja, and a red wizard. And I just really wanted to, have like a cool all fighter party,
nice.
You know, for quick grinding. It really helps for quick grinding. But also, I could get the one good spell I needed and the one good healing spell I needed for my red wizard, who could also wield, you know, badass swords.
Yeah.
There were only a few spells that you can't get with the wizard, and I think that his versatility made it okay that I didn't have those few spells.
Okay.
But yeah, that's my preferred party.
All right. I would have to say the fighter black belt, white, and black mages. Like the standard party. Like, I like having a well-balanced party. Yeah. Although I like to try and use the red mage.
Yeah, like, I really wanted to use the red mage. He looks so cool.
He looks cool. He's got that hat. He's got that great red hat and a red cape. Like, he looks dashing.
A red pointy hat with a red cape, and he has a sword. Like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, he's
I kind of want to be a red mage for Halloween.
He does.
I gotta do that.
But he's not great at everything.
No.
He's good at most things, but he's just not
really
an expert.
He's really good, though.
Yeah.
He's got your back.
All right. My final question. Is there a moment in this game that really grabbed you? And I'll tell you mine. I'll just give you a moment. For me, the moment this game, like, blew my mind, and it was really, it had me from page one, but the moment when you go to the castle in the sky and you realize that you're essentially, like, in outer space, like, you're in this floating castle above the world, just completely grabbed me. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm in the freaking sky in a castle. This is amazing. This architecture of this ancient civilization, and this is the castle where you fight the final fiend before you go to the final dungeon, which is conveniently the fiend of air, since you're in the castle. That moment just, like, grabbed me. I thought it was great. That's when this game had me. I knew I would be a fan of Final Fantasy from there on out, for the most part. No, from there on out, most of the time. Yeah, Scott, you're desperately trying to find a moment. Is there something you remember?
All right, my favorite part of this game, and this was just the beginning, and it started my obsession with this one certain element that is in almost every single Final Fantasy game, and that is when you get the floater and you raise the airship out of the desert sand. So it's like, not only are you getting this artifact, you're getting an ancient artifact that is progressive technology. So cool. And you can finally reach all those islands and all those things that you were looking at and staring at. You can finally get to them. That's my favorite part of the game, is the first time and first time ever that you get to get in the airship.
All right. Well, we kind of have to start wrapping this up. This was our little treat, our little tribute to you, Final Fantasy, for being over 25 years old.
Woohoo!
You can legally rent a car now, I believe is what you can do. Hopefully your insurance rates have gone down, Final Fantasy. I don't know. I wish to thank both of you for being here tonight. Aaron, do you have any final thoughts or anything you wish to say or plug?
It's just amazing to see how far gaming technology has come from the 8-bit to what Final Fantasy is today.
It's pretty ridiculous. Like, a game like this would be a downloadable game now, and it would be $4 on the iPhone, which
or
is what it is.
Or free if you have points.
Or free if you have points. Rather than be $60. But, games have surely come a long way. It's kind of crazy.
I gotta tell you, I'm looking at a picture of the 8-bit Red Wizard. Dude, he's really hot.
He's great!
I mean, like, yeah, man. He's got a cape. His cape is red, but it's black on the inside. He's got these, like, red boots that have a little white thing on it.
You know, here's what I understand. I'm looking
He's got a feather. He's got, like, a white feather out of his red cap. Come on! I wouldn't fuck that guy.
I'm looking at a picture of the ninja, who is all red.
Yeah.
He's gonna stand out against every background. Shouldn't he be wearing black?
Yeah, he's screwed.
He's screwed.
Yeah, he's dead. He doesn't have any magic
spells. He's the worst ninja ever.
Yeah, he's a bad ninja.
Yeah, yeah. That's why nobody likes the ninja.
Well, it was a black background. That's why they didn't make him a black
ninja. Yes, I know. I get it. He could be wearing gray.
Yeah, gray.
Yeah, it should have been gray.
Actually, I don't know if gray was a color the NES was capable of.
You're probably right.
At least blue, right?
No.
No. Which one? The ninja?
Yeah.
He's over there.
Yeah, well, the thief had blue hair.
The thief. Then he turned.
If you put the ninja in blue against a black
There you go. That
background.
Would work. That would work.
A blue ninja.
Yeah. Anything is... Red is the worst color.
Yeah.
Short
or
of
yellow.
White. Yeah, yellow's pretty bad. All right. That was a tangent. Scott, do you have any final things you wish to say other than the hot red mage? Red wizard.
I'm just saying, the Red Wizard is where it's at.
All right.
And if you haven't played this game with the Red Wizard, it's really, really fun because it adds a little bit more difficulty because you don't get the most powerful spells in the game. But you got the Red Wizard, man. Go to town. Go to town with the Red Wizard. Four Red Wizards. I can't even say Red Wizard. Four Red Wizards. That's your tongue twister for the day.
Scott, thank you so much for coming out all the way from New York.
Just for this.
Just for this, obviously. Aaron, thank you for letting us sit here and talk at you for almost an hour about Final Fantasy.
If you take one thing from this, what is it?
The Red Wizard.
There we go. That's all I need to say. That's all. Okay.
Well, I have been your host, Chris Bashan, and my guests tonight have been
Aaron Klein
and Scott Ross.
Thank you for listening.